And good afternoon once again, everyone. It is our number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. It is Monday. We got another big load of snow over the weekend. In fact, around 11 inches here in the Wausau area. But to start off the work week, snow on the ground, pretty much overcast skies, and chilly temperatures for the middle portion of March. To find out about the weather for this coming week, we're again joined from weatherology.com by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. And Ray, it was quite a last week or so. We had some significant snow during the work week last week, and then again on the weekend got hit pretty hard. But it just feels like recently we have been hit harder now in the last, few weeks or so than we had all winter long.
It's been a very active couple of weeks, and it's not surprising. Usually this time of year, as temperatures start to warm up, the air can hold more moisture, and so any storm system that does come through is going to be a very effective snow producer, and that's what we've seen with this last couple of systems. Cloudy this afternoon, still a few patchy snow showers, highs in the upper 20s, winds out of the north at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Snow showers possible early tonight, otherwise partly cloudy with a low of zero. On Tuesday, we'll see mainly sunny skies, high temperature around 31 degrees. Wednesday, partly sunny, high of 42. Thursday, rain, high of 43. Friday, rain mixes with snow, high of 33 degrees. And a little bit of light snow Saturday with a high of 27. Sunday, sunny and a high of 34. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And you talked about some potential precipitation later in the week. any idea how much we may be getting as we get towards the end of the work week?
No, a little too early to say at this point. We'll have this rain and snow mix and then changing over to all snow Friday night into Saturday. Really depends on exactly the timing when the temperatures dip below freezing and the exact track of the storm system. So a bit too early to say.
Okay, Ray. Well, thanks for the information, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
All right. I'll see you then.
And right now, actually seeing a little bit of sunshine as I peek over my shoulder out the window here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Partly sunny. Temperature stands at 27 degrees here in Wausau. Winds out of the north at 12 miles per hour, gusting as high as 18 miles per hour, so a wind chill factor of 16. The dew point is 14 degrees, relative humidity of 58%, the barometer at 30.15 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 3:09. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Again, a reminder, we talk about the weather quite a bit because it's important for this time of year and also this part of the world. Right now, Civic Media is offering a big discount on becoming a weather sponsor. Yep, we know that you listen in for the weather. And if you're a business owner, this would be a great opportunity to have your message heard with the weather. And sponsoring the forecast on the station can affect your business in a very positive way by making your phone ring. Right now and only until Wednesday, this Wednesday, March the 15th, the cost of Civic Media's powerful weather sponsorship packages are up to 50% off. Again, that is up to 50% off our weather sponsorship packages until Wednesday only. You can sponsor 24 hours of weather for just a small amount each week. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour, followed by your phone number. That's 24 ads per day. One ad every hour right before the latest weather forecast. Listeners pay attention to the forecast, and they'll pay attention to your message. Remember, this great opportunity will absolutely positively end on Wednesday, this Wednesday, March the 15th. To get more information, just go online. Go to civicmedia.us/weather. That's civicmedia.us/weather or call 608-819-8255. That's 608-819-8255 for immediate service. But again, the easiest way, go online, go to civicmedia.us/weather for the details on this great opportunity. Again, up to 50% off a weather sponsorship, but it ends on Wednesday. Okay, so get that information, sign up, and be connected with the weather because we know it's very important to those of you tuned in right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Well, coming up tonight, there is another Wausau School Board meeting. We'll talk a little bit about that, about where we stand as the restructuring process continues. And don't forget, again, tomorrow, we are going to do everything we can to make sure we have all five of the candidates in the WASTA school board election joining us on this very program to talk about their campaigns, talk about the issues involved. We had candidate Fred Thiele on last Thursday. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have our second of the five candidates, Jillian Bettino. She'll be joining us tomorrow at 2:15. We'll talk about the issues, including, of course, the restructuring plan, but all the other issues, why she's running for the office as well. So Jillian Bettino, WASA school board candidate, coming up on Tuesday, tomorrow at 2:15, right here on the program on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And don't forget as well, make sure you get ready to vote on April the 4th. And on April the 4th, again, Civic Media is going to have wall-to-wall coverage all around the state. I'll be part of it as well, talking about the races around here in WASA. But boy, we will cover it from top to bottom. April the 4th, Civic Media's exclusive election night coverage. Boy, you will not get it anywhere else like we do it here. The time is 3:13. More to come on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. The Newman Catholic High School boys basketball team is heading to their first ever WIAA state basketball tournament. On Friday morning, the Cardinals will take on Royal in a Division 5 state semifinal from the Kohl Center in Madison. Hear all the exciting action live on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 8:40 a.m. and the opening tip at 9:05. Newman Catholic High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, and Sun Printing. It's Newman Catholic taking on Royal in a Division 5 state semifinal from the Kohl Center in Madison. Friday morning, starting with the pregame show at 8:40 and the opening tip at 9:05. On Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 3:17, a little bit of sunshine poking through from time to time here at our studios on East WASA Avenue. Temperature stands at 27 degrees. Well, fortunately, as we just heard in the promo, that we do still have one team remaining in our high school sports coverage for the winter sports season. The Newman Catholic Cardinals involved in the state tournament, Division 5 state semifinal. You can hear the game. I'll be heading down to Madison. I'll be at the Kohl Center on Friday morning, starting with the pregame show at 8:40 a.m. and the opening tip at 9:05. Again, you can hear the game live right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, don't forget on Friday afternoon, got Marquette University basketball, first round of the NCAA tournament. Marquette, a number 2 seed in the East region, take on Vermont. MU versus Vermont, 1:15 pregame, 1:45 for the opening tip here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I'll have more on Newman Catholic and what they accomplished over the weekend, winning that sectional championship, earning their spot in the state tournament a little bit later on in the program. It was great to be on the air for that one on Saturday when they won that sectional championship and punched their ticket to Madison. So I'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on in the program. But wanted to, again, mention that tonight, for those of you following the news when it comes to the WASA School District and the restructuring plan, there is a school board meeting, a regular school board meeting tonight, and there will be discussion of the possibility of holding an advisory referendum next April on the proposal. The agenda for tonight's meeting includes that discussion on the possibility, I'm quoting here, the possibility of offering an advisory referendum and or a community survey to ascertain the level of understanding of the needs and projected outcomes of a district restructuring effort, as well as the level of support for such an effort. The discussion of this potential advisory referendum comes after a petition that's been put out. We talked to a Wausau School District parent, Nora Brown, on this program about a week and a half ago. She started the petition, and it's been signed by nearly 2,000 people who opposed the restructuring proposal presented by WSD officials. The online petition asks district officials to make a decision, quote, based on the will of the community rather than the ambitions of a superintendent and a few board members, end quote. To be honest with you, I don't really care for that language. The idea that this is somehow a personal thing that is being pushed through by some of these folks, I really don't believe that. Again, I've talked about this over the last couple of months. I first heard about these committees that were being formed to discuss the issues involved with the Wausau School District back during the summer, back before I even started this program. I didn't start this program until after Labor Day, but when I was getting ready for the high school football season, I'd be over at Wausau West, and I talked to folks, and I heard about these committees and got some information. I do not think that the district did a good enough job in terms of letting the public know what was going on with these committees and bringing them along. I've talked about this. This is a step-by-step process. You need to bring the public along. But I don't think this is a politically charged issue. And I worry a little bit where it feels like some are trying to make it a left-right issue. I don't think that's the case. I think there are significant issues involved with the Wausau School District. When you look at the numbers in terms of the enrollment over the recent years going down by like 700, and according to some numbers, again, these are numbers that you can agree with or disagree with. There's a potential based on birth rates here in the Wausau area that could lead to another 500, 600 fewer students within the Wausau School District in the next half a dozen years as well. So, again, there are major issues involved in this. But, again, I think the major problem that has been discussed, and I think we hear it on people that I think are on both sides of this issue. I think much of the issue in terms of the people that are pushing back against this restructuring plan is, why weren't we given more options? Why were we not given more information? Why were we not brought into the process maybe a little earlier than it was? I think that's one of the biggest problems that they want to say, hey, let's put the brakes down on this a little bit and find out more information. And I think even those folks that are for the consolidation plan in terms of knowing what some of these issues are, feel like this whole process could have been done in a much more transparent way. And I think that the board needs to, better late than never. They need to be, I think, as open, have as much discussion, have as many opportunities for folks that may be either on the fence or even against it to be able to find out more. Why is this the best way to go? Why is this what the future of the Wausau School District should be focused on? So again, it's another opportunity tonight to hear from the board, to hear from the district, and to get more information as they continue the process. And the process is going to continue. I think that's one thing that everybody agrees on, that once you made that vote 7-2 a few weeks ago to move forward on this restructuring plan, it's not going to be waiting around for a year until next April, even if they decide to have this non-binding referendum. And that's one of the things that, when you talk about this, after a year goes by, what happens? What happens if, say, again, this is all speculative. Let's say 65% of the people say, no, this is not what we want in this non-binding referendum. What will the board do? Will they pull back? Will they say, well, we've been working on this for a full year. We've already gone down this road. It's really too late to turn back. I don't know. But again, I'm not so sure that this is the best way to ultimately bring the people together. Because all of a sudden, if you have a non-binding referendum where a large majority says, no, we would like to slow down or turn back, and then the board and the administration does not listen to it because it's non-binding, boy, you could lead to even more anger. And that's the thing that worries me more than anything else. You want to have a community that is together on such an important issue. The schools are a huge issue. The schools are a big reason why young families will move into our area. So again, what is the best way to move in a direction that brings people together? And I'm going to be curious to hear what people say about it. It's also be curious to hear what the candidates for the school board say about it. We talked to Fred Thiele. We heard him very forcefully, I think, push back against this plan. We will hear from Jillian Bettino tomorrow at 2:15. Talk about her candidacy for the Wausau School Board. We'll talk to current school board vice president Lance Trollope coming up in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today. And then the other two candidates we have also been in contact with. And it looks as though they are interested in coming on. We'll just have to set up the time and we'll move forward with that as well. So that would be just fantastic. That is the thing I want. I want to have each of these five candidates on to be able to talk about their background, their point of view, their vision for the Wausau School District to help you, the listener, and you, the Wausau resident, for those of you tuned in right now within the Wausau School District boundaries, to be able to have a very educated and good feel for these candidates before you vote on the 4th of April. So, again, I'm very happy to be able to bring on these candidates to allow them to talk. It's not going to be a situation where I'm going to be pushing an agenda myself. I don't think that's the role in this situation. This is about giving these folks an opportunity to talk about these issues and to speak to you, the listeners, and the potential voters out there. So, again, it's going to be tonight at the regular school board meeting. Again, the restructuring as presented by the administration, shifting fifth grade students to middle school, create a single junior high at the current Wausau East High School building, and a single senior high school at Wausau West. A decision to close five neighborhood elementary schools was not finalized, though a subsequent email from Superintendent Hiltz named the five schools often cited for closure, as well as an additional school as an alternative to a named elementary school. So, again, the agenda tonight also includes an update on the restructuring plan with feedback from staff on the pros and cons of staggering implementation, an approach that is favored by most school board members. The district's presentation indicates that a majority of staff are opposed to a staggered implementation, though officials' approach to survey questions have been criticized both by staff and parents. So again, that's one of the issues that seems to be hanging out there. You ask the staff, how would you like this implemented? And a great majority of the staff says, we don't want it staggered. That makes it more difficult. But yet, the board seems to say, well, no, we want it staggered. That is, again, if you're going to ask for opinions and then ignore them, that's going to lead, I think, again, to folks not being very pleased with the process. So we'll see what happens tonight, see if there's any major news made during the course of that meeting, and I'm sure I'll be able to talk about it both in terms of my time tomorrow and also with the school board candidate Jillian Bettino tomorrow at 2:15 as well. Coming up, we'll have a news update. We'll find out what's happening again around the country and around the world with CBS, followed by another civic media news update as well. Then back with more here on the Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We'll be right back. Chad Holmes, join former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We'll be talking winter high school sports. We'll take a look at what's going on in high school boys and girls basketball and boys and girls hockey, plus special guests. Each week, we'll be joined by one of our area high school coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. It's nothing but high school sports for 2 hours each Wednesday night. The Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's home for the best in high school sports coverage. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 3:35, currently mostly cloudy skies, temperature of 27 degrees, going to be a nippy one tonight, zero degrees, low temperature expected here on March the 13th. A couple of stories I wanted to touch on. Because one of which, international story that has a little sports in it, and I found it very interesting. I'm not sure how many of you heard about the row over in Great Britain on one of their most famous sports programs called Match of the Day. It is the English Premier League. We see it here in the United States, but in Great Britain, obviously, it is the number one sport. And every weekend, they have Match of the Day, where the pundits and the hosts discuss all the action of the English Premier League. It is the English football version of Fox NFL Sunday or TNT's Inside the NBA. The Terry Bradshaw and or Charles Barkley of Match of the Day is a man named Gary Lineker. He is an institution in the UK. He was a famous player for a number of some of the biggest football clubs in Europe. Also was one of the top performers for England in an international play for many years. And on Friday of last week, the BBC announced that Lineker would be, quote, stepping aside, end quote, from Match of the Day for an unspecified period. Why is that, you may ask? Because Lineker criticized a newly enacted immigration policy by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and Home Secretary Suella Braverman. And it's, again, a cruel immigration policy. It's basically some mega immigration policies brought to England. And basically, it is policies which would be seen as criminalizing asylum seekers and moving things to the right. That is, you know, sort of like the wall. It's basically the British version of the wall. It's basically, instead of build the wall, they're saying stop the boats in England. And it's, again, just, you know, demonizing immigrants. And Lineker is a left-leaning person. If he's got a lot of people who follow him on social media, he is not afraid to say what he thinks, what he believes. And he compared the proposed British immigration policy to, quote, something from 1930s Germany, end quote, which basically it is. And when they said stepping aside, it's not really stepping aside. The BBC basically took him off the air. And the BBC is trying to keep conservative members of the government, of parliament, and the media. And you know Rupert Murdoch, of course. Big man of Fox News, big man of New York Post and other newspapers and other publications. And he is a big man over in Great Britain as well. And by taking Gary Lineker off the air, the BBC is citing a policy which says its personalities are supposed to be politically impartial. But it's garbage, because the BBC has never brought anybody off who slammed, you know, who came from the right. There's a big show in Great Britain named Top Gear, and its host is Jeremy Clarkson. And about a decade ago, he said, quote, some striking workers should be executed in front of their families. I mean, that's pretty political, isn't it? But it's right-leaning. So, yeah, he wasn't taken off the air by the BBC. He did offer some sort of apology and then just continued on without missing one paycheck or one program. But this is, again, going on in Britain, but we see this in the United States as well. Boy, these free speech warriors on the right, they get all tied up in knots whenever somebody criticizes, somebody with a big platform, somebody famous, criticizes their policies. The BBC made a big mistake here, because they got a lot of blowback from pulling Gary Lineker off the air. They were so afraid of getting the conservative government and conservative media upset that they basically, what they call in soccer, scored an own goal. But the thing is, Lineker did not step back, and his colleagues did not step back. There was a pushback on this, a pushback against the right-wing outrage machine. The response always from that right-wing outrage machine is like the world is coming to an end. How dare Gary Lineker say something like that? But the problem is you see it all the time. You see it all the time. If you get the right upset at you, boy, you media or professional sports leagues. We saw it with Colin Kaepernick. Let's get him out of the way. We don't want those megas upset with us. So they blackball a quarterback that could have been playing for the last 6 years. And here they, but with Gary Lineker, he's not playing the game. And his co-workers are not playing the game either. Because usually it feels like, well, when somebody caves into the right wing, well, it's going to blow over. Here, everybody stood with Lineker. His co-host on Match of the Day, both refused to work without Lineker over the weekend. And then others, announcers said, nope, we're not going to do this. So what did the BBC do? They did not call Gary Lineker and say, hey, come on back. We want you back on the show. They ran the show without any commentators. Basically just played highlights without commentary. Some people say, hey, that's probably better. No, it wasn't better. I've seen reviews of this. It was like a show from government media before the communist wall went down. Over the weekend, a BBC spokesperson said Lineker would be off the air until an agreement was reached between the sides, specifically as it relates to his use of social media. For his part, Lineker, who has 2 years left on his contract to be the host of Match of the Day, is not backing down. He's a man that has wealth, so he does not need the job. He is well-respected. He's getting lots of support. So now it's up to the BBC. What are they going to do? Are they going to keep a policy which effectively forbids anyone to criticize anything the conservative government does? Which, of course, gives conservatives editorial control over the network. Or do they say, okay, Gary, come on back. We understand that you have the right to put out your opinion. And number one, he doesn't work specifically. He's just a contractor. He's contracted with the BBC. So again, it's going to be very interesting. It was incredible how his co-workers stood up. And I was thinking about this over the weekend. Let's say on Fox NFL Sunday, Terry Bradshaw was unfairly taken off the air. Or on Inside the NBA that Charles Barkley was unfairly taken off the air. What would the co-workers here in the United States do? I have a fear that they would have all shown up, did the show without him, and just continued on. And then in the end, whoever, quote, misbehaved, end quote, would be forced to apologize, promise never to go on Twitter or Facebook or any social media and say anything bad about the conservatives ever again, and they'd come back. Because as I talked about in the first hour, I talked about selling out. I talked about how Barney Frank sold out. I talked about how other Democratic politicians sold out after leaving Congress. The United States here, too many people sell out. I truly believe that. The folks in England did not sell out. They stood up. Would that happen here in the United States? I don't know. I don't think it would. I think that the powerful media conglomerate would say, nope, you guys are going to keep working, and they would show up to work and yee and yuck yuck and do what they normally do. So good for Gary Lineker. I hope he doesn't back down. I hope his cohorts don't back down. I hope the BBC shows that the conservative government in the United Kingdom will not be the editorial control board of the BBC. I don't think I have time to start the next. I had a point to be made about local media here in the United States as well. I will just say, I'm going to try to talk a little bit about this coming up tomorrow, but Gannett Media, and I saw a posting on one of my favorite blogs called Cup of Coffee by Craig Calcaterra, and I did not know this, and he put a link to a story about how Gannett has, quote, destroyed local news all across America. In 2019, Gannett merged with the then number two newspaper company, Gatehouse, and since then has basically slashed local news to the bone. At the end of 2018, the last full pre-merger year, the two companies had a total of 27,600 employees, according to a Gannett spokesperson. After the merger, in mid-November of 2019, it had about 25,000. By the end of 2019, it was down to 21,255. By the end of 2020, it was dropped to 18,141. A year later, way down to 13,800 in its most recent Security and Exchange Commission filing reports at the end of 2022, Gannett had just 11,200 employees remaining. So from 27,600 at the end of 2018, which was not the golden age of local news coverage, mind you, Gannett has eliminated 59% of its jobs in 4 years. Unbelievable. And we see it. And there's some points I'm going to make, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. But again, we are at a crossroads about information in this country. Information. It's becoming harder and harder to fight back against lies. And how we're going to do that, I don't know. But I got some thoughts, and it'll be one of the topics I talk about tomorrow. The time is 3:47. I am Chad Holmes. Glad you could join me here on this Monday. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip. If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip. When they ask me, what are you looking at? I always answer, nothing much, not much. I think they know that I'm looking at them. I think they think I must be out of touch, but I'm only in the outskirts and in the fringes, on the edge and off the avenue. And if you want me, you can find me left of center, wondering about you.
Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, coming up on Friday, Newman Cardinals boy basketball team makes it to the WIAA state tournament for the first time. Cardinals knocked off Gibraltar 66-54 in the sectional championship round on Saturday, a game that we had right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Fighting Cardinals, seeded number one at the state tournament. They did make state tournament appearances back as a member of WISA. Back in 1993 and in 1999, but this will be the first time since Newman in the year 2000 moved over to the WIAA that they are at the state boys basketball tournament. And Newman will be taking on the fourth-seeded Royal. The Royal Panthers, they knocked off Wazika Steuben in a sectional final on Saturday, 58-40. So Newman and Royal, live Friday morning right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Starting with the pregame show at 8:40 a.m. and the opening tip at 9:05. So again, bright and early on Friday, Newman Cardinals State Tournament Basketball. Catch it right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, today it is Monday, March the 13th. You wouldn't know it with all the snow on the ground, but yes, it is March the 13th, day number 72 of 2023. There are 293 days left in the year. Taking a look at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. In 1781, the seventh planet of the solar system, Uranus, was discovered by Sir William Herschel. On this date in 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed a measure prohibiting Union military officers from returning fugitive slaves to their owners. On this date in 1877, American Chester Greenwood patents earmuffs after inventing them at age 15. Also on this date in history, on this date in 1925, the Tennessee General Assembly approved a bill prohibiting the teaching of the theory of evolution. Governor Austin P. signed the measure on March 21st. Tennessee then repealed the law in 1967. On this date, in 1933, banks in the U.S. began to reopen after a holiday declared by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. On this date, in 1938, famed attorney Clarence Darrow died in Chicago. Also, another famous person died on this date in history. In 1943, financier and philanthropist J.P. Morgan Jr. died in Boca Grande, Florida. On this date in 1996, a gunman burst into an elementary school in Dunblane, Scotland and opened fire, killing 16 children and one teacher before killing himself. On this date, in 2020, Breonna Taylor, a 26-year-old black woman, was fatally shot in her apartment in Louisville, Kentucky, during a botched raid by plainclothes narcotics detectives. No drugs were found. Don't call me during my show. Again, Breonna Taylor, 26-year-old, on this date in 2020, fatally shot in her apartment in Louisville during a botched raid by plainclothes narcotics detectives. No drugs were found, and the no-knock warrant used to enter by force was later found to be flawed. A grand jury brought no charges against the officers in her death, and prosecutors said two officers who fired at her were justified because her boyfriend shot at them. One officer was found not guilty of endangering Taylor's neighbors by firing into the side of her apartment during the raid. Some famous people that are celebrating birthdays today. Singer-songwriter Neil Sedaka turns 84 years old. Also, actor William H. Macy is 73. Actor Dana Delaney turning 67. Rock musician Adam Clayton of U2 is 63 years old today. Also, actor Annabeth Gish is 52. Actor Tracy Wells turns 52 years old today as well. Singer Glenn Lewis is 48. Actor Danny Masterson, boy, he was on That 70s Show, but he's got himself into some legal issues since then. He turns 47 years old today. Actor Emile Hirsch is 38. U.S. Olympic gold medal skier Michaela Schifrin is 28. Boy, she has had just an incredible run recently. I think just in the last week or so, she set a new record for World Cup victories. Just Michaela Schifrin, 28 years old today. And tennis star Coco Gauff turning 19. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Thanks again to our guest today, April Rose Murgay. As again, we're getting set for that big curling event going on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Wausau Curling Club. Don't forget tomorrow at 2:15, we'll be joined by Jillian Bettino, a Wausau School Board candidate. She'll be with us again at 2:15 tomorrow. Coming up from 4 till 6, it's another edition of the Devil's Advocates. Be the Monday edition of the Devil's Advocates. So stick around from 4 until 6 p.m. Thanks again for joining me. And you can join me each and every weekday from 2 until 4. Don't forget as well, if you miss any of the program, just go to bowfallsradio.com or civicmedia.us. Click on shows, click on the logo for my show, and then you can listen to a podcast of each of our programs here on the Chad Holmes Show. Have yourselves a great rest of your Monday and keep it right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Break, move on, don't hesitate, break down.